33 minutes past the hour, Texas Standard Time. I'm David Brown. We mentioned the reopening of schools a bit earlier, and much has been said about the many new challenges students and teachers are trying to navigate right now, many of those challenges impossible to imagine just a year ago. Those difficulties are compounded, though, if you're a student who's experiencing homelessness. And advocates worry that population may be quietly growing given the unprecedented economic hardships many families are facing. Joining us now is Brett Murfish. She is the director of youth justice at Texas Appleseed, which describes itself as a public interest justice center based in Austin. Brett, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
There may not be a whole lot of data on this, but just from what you know and from what you've been hearing and seeing, what are we talking about when it comes to the numbers of youth who are homeless? Has that been growing, and are there any hard numbers?
Yeah, it's really hard to get hard numbers. We kind of have a lag in terms of knowing how many students are homeless in Texas. You know, we know that after natural disasters or economic downturns, it certainly increases. So you saw in 2017-2018 school year, you know, if you looked at the numbers, it almost doubled. I think that's also due to an easier time identifying students who are homeless during disasters, mm-hmm. which is always one of the struggles in terms of getting a real grasp on the numbers. I've heard anecdotally from homeless liaisons who are tasked at each district with helping students who are experiencing homelessness access resources that they have all seen a jump in their numbers.
I also imagine that accessing services is going to be more difficult than in the past, thinking about things like shelter, food banks, and that sort of thing. And of course, due to social distancing, you can't have a lot of people in one place at one time. What's that been like?
Yeah, we've heard from, you know, the few shelters that do exist for youth who are unaccompanied and minors, that they've had to change the way they're operating, turn into more of a drop-in center, you know, limit the number of people that are there at one time. So that's certainly an issue. You know, I think that we've seen schools have done a really good job of ensuring that food and meals are still accessible and delivered. And, you know, kind of coming up with strategies like if, you know, students can't get to the drop-off center, you know, sending out a delivery or something for them. But I think one of the areas that is more challenging is in connectivity, internet access, mm-hmm. especially for our students who don't have a device, or maybe their family only owns one device and they have multiple, you know, kids in school.
So what do they do? I mean, as we focus on the education aspect of this, with so many young people experiencing homelessness and many presumably for the first time having to navigate school, and with so many classes being online now, it's not just about getting a laptop, it's about getting connectivity too.
Right. So at the beginning of this, TEA, which is the Texas Education Agency, estimated about 1.8 million students lack technology to learn from home. And then, you know, they put in money through the CARES Act, some local funding to sort of buy hotspots, you know, have those mobile buses, buy devices. And I also know that, you know, some of our homeless liaisons had to do that themselves, right? Like I heard stories of people going to Walmart and buying phones and data cards using their emergency funds to help families.
But what you're describing hardly seems like an actual solution to the larger issue. I mean, what sort of advice is your organization giving teachers and homeless liaisons about assisting homeless students in these situations?
Yeah, it's definitely not a permanent fix. And I think that's really a good point. You know, it's also, there are other challenges to learning from home beyond connectivity and wireless. Uh-huh. You know, right. If you don't have a stable place to live, if you're, you know, crowded, if you're doubled up. Some of our homeless liaisons have actually used eviction rolls as a way to help identify students who are homeless and try and get them those resources early. You know, I think having access to technology, even when we're not in virtual schooling, is important. So it's good that we're putting some systems in place, but we're certainly, you know, this is certainly a lot of the things that they're putting in place are not long-term solutions.
Well, what about protections that are in place for these students? Are there any districts that you're aware of that are doing a particularly good job of trying to address this issue?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there are some homeless liaisons. For instance, San Antonio ISD has, you know, working with eviction court to refer families to their homeless liaison. They also look at their online enrollment system to be able to see, you know, who is not logging on at all. I think that's been an issue that's come up a lot over the course of this, is that there's been a lack of engagement from a high percentage of students. We actually looked at from the 2018-2019 school year, the highest number of students experiencing homelessness, and found mm-hmm. that in some districts you had as much as 6.5% of students overall where you had no or lost contacts with them from March when things went online. And then there's sort of a lost engagement measure, and that ranges around 10.7% for those districts that have the highest percentage of homeless students. One district had almost 21% where they lost engagement with that percentage of their student body.
Brett Murfish is director of youth justice at Texas Appleseed, a public interest law center based in Austin. Brett, thanks for your time.
Thank you, David.